Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And today we're going to be talking about an up-and-coming company that recently went public and has rolled out an athlete-heavy marketing campaign as well. But before we get into any of that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. So we've talked about cooler giant Yeti, whose stock is up 50% since going public in October of 2018. They trade under the ticker YETI. We've talked about Canada Goose, who trades under GOOSE, Lululemon, LULU. We've talked about up-and-coming Gatorade competitor Body Armor, which Coca-Cola took a big stake in last summer. But today we're talking about a company that might not seem like it exactly fits with this podcast, but I think it really does because, as I mentioned, they're using pro athletes for their advertising campaign, and they're really trying to sell a new protein-heavy food to consumers. And that company is Beyond Meat. It trades under the ticker BYND, and it went public on May 2nd. So I'm going to get into kind of everything that the company does and how the stock's done so far, and then sort of some speculation into the future and how some people on Wall Street have reacted. So the company said in its regulatory filing that it planned to offer around 9.5 million shares between $23 and $25 each, updating from around $19 to $21 range. The stock first traded for, it opened up at $46, which was 84% above its IPO price. The stock then skyrockets 163% on its opening day and closed at $65.75, which was the biggest first day open for a company raising more than $200 million since the height of the dot-com bubble in 2000. So that's some perspective on how popular Beyond Meat was on its opening day on May 2nd. And this stands against highly anticipated IPOs from Lyft and Uber, which have both tanked so far since going public. So some real high demand for Beyond Meat. That's why its opening price was up so much from its IPO price. And then the stock opened Monday. So this morning it opened at $92.46, which is up roughly 100% since its day one opening. So it's up really big over the last couple of weeks. We'll see how it goes going forward. But now I kind of want to get into what the company does and then talk a little bit more about what's going to happen going forward. So the company essentially makes plant-based alternatives to meat. You could call it fake meat. They make burger patties, sausage, which they sell as what they call brats, and hot Italian sausage. They also sell beef crumbles for two different flavors, one for pasta and then one for tacos. As a side note, they used to sell Beyond chicken strips, but on their website, they say why they discontinued those for now. And it said, quote, "Unfortunately, our chicken strips were not delivering the same plant-based meat experience as some of our more popular products." So they're working on that right now. And they also plan on rolling out some more offerings later this year. And unlike traditional veggie burgers or vegan burgers, the firm is really trying to mimic the exact taste and consistency of meat, and they're going after people who eat meat. They're almost trying to, they're calling this meat. They're not saying this is fake meat. They're saying this is plant-based meat, which is sometimes hard to even really wrap your head around on exactly what that means. But basically, these, at least the patties, are made out of four main ingredients. It's water, pea protein isolate, canola oil, and refined coconut oil. These provide basically the juiciness and the size and the taste of the burgers. And they're really trying to go after people who still want to eat red meat but eat less of it. As a note, I did try these last week. They made burgers with the normal toppings I would put on any burger bun. The consistency really does taste like a burger. If you didn't tell me going in and you just said, "Hey, here's a burger," I honestly might not have known, but if you ate it on its own, personally, like just the patty, it didn't have as much flavor as a normal burger, but in general, the consistency was there. I think if you didn't tell someone and just handed it to them on a normal thing, they might not be able to know, but that's just my personal story. So you can go try it for yourself. They're selling for roughly $5.99 for two patties. So it's a little bit higher price point than your average beef patties at the moment. But as I mentioned, they're trying to cash in on what they hope is a groundswell of people who are trying to eat less red meat for whatever purposes. They point to the environment, they point to health concerns, but we'll see how far they can get to really the average consumer. And right now they say they're in over 33,000 grocery stores, restaurants, hotels, and universities. Excuse me. So right now they're in Publix, Safeway, Mariano's, Jewel Osco, Kroger. In terms of restaurants, they're now in TGI Fridays, A&W, Del Taco, Carl's Jr. So they're slowly getting into more and more places. So it's a California-based company. It was started in 2009, so about a decade ago. And obviously, the company and executives think they're going to be a long-term solution to red meat. And this is from their website. This is kind of their mission statement. So I figured I'd read it because it gives you a sense of what the company sees itself as. So we believe there's a better way to feed the planet. Our mission is to create what they have as a registered trademark, the future of protein. By shifting from animal to plant-based meat, we are creating one savory solution that solves four growing issues attributed to livestock production. And then this is also from their mission statement as well. Human health, climate change, constraints on our natural resources, and animal welfare. So they're trying to be part of this broad, more conscious consumer movement that's kind of spreading through retail in general. So that's their hope. And they've used some NBA players to advertise. Notably, Houston Rockets star Chris Paul is the main focus of their current ad campaign. If you go on their website, that's the video that you'll be offered to click on right away. In the ad, it features him and his son playing basketball at what they assume is his backyard. And he's voicing over the ad saying he wants to set up a better future by leading through example, fight for progress, look out for the next generation. And then he needs the fuel to make all of that happened. And then the tagline is go beyond in everything that I do. And he's worn hats to playoff games. He says he now eats them after games. And they also have 14 total brand ambassadors at the moment, and all of them are athletes. So they have DeAndre Hopkins, who plays in the NFL, Kyrie Irving, also from the NBA, Malcolm Jenkins, JJ Redick, DeAndre Jordan, JaVale McGee, Maya Moore, Victor Oladipo. All in mainstream sports. And then the only athlete that's kind of not in that mainstream area is Alex Arnold, who's actually the star of a movie that just won the Oscar for best documentary. And he's a free solo climber. As a side note, that movie is crazy. I encourage anyone to go watch it. If you hadn't seen it, he climbs with no ropes and nothing else, straight up vertical feet, 3000 feet, El Capitan, in California. It's a mind-blowing movie. But so he seems more of like someone you'd think would be selling this veggie-based burger because he lives in a car and he climbs mountains for a living. But it's really interesting to see this company use NBA players. A lot of these guys have also invested in the company. Those stats aren't out there, and it's exactly unclear how much or what equity stake they took in the company. But it's part of a growing wave of players who are trying to eat a little more healthy. Red meat can be a little harder to digest on the body. Overall, NBA players and high-level athletes in general are trying to eat better because they're trying to have longer careers. There's so much more money at stake than there was even 10 years ago that this, you could see going forward, be something that maybe athletes do want to try. And that's obviously what the company sees. That's why they focused on using these big, well-known NBA players and NFL players to reach out to athletes and say, hey, you don't have to think of this as some vegan thing where you won't have enough protein in your diet to fuel your athletic achievements. So that's their marketing pitch at the moment. So that's how it really ties into this podcast. And it makes a lot of sense. But now I want to talk about a little bit of the downsides. We've mentioned how it's blowing Uber and Lyft's IPO out of the water. It's up 100% since going public in early May. But there's obviously some people who are not super high on this company at the moment, because obviously this kind of growth is insane, 100% in just a couple weeks. So Citron Research is well known in some circles on Wall Street. Andrew Left runs that. He's a notable Tesla bear, short seller. He's bearish on this company. Last Friday, he put out a tweet and kind of went into more depth about why he thinks Beyond Meat is going to trend back down in the other direction pretty quickly. So this is just his take on what the current situation is at the moment. So this is from his Twitter account on Friday. He wrote, BYND, that's the ticker, has become Beyond Stupid, most heavily traded retail stock on Robinhood, which is a free trading app platform that's really geared towards millennials, just as reference. The market cap now bigger than industry, superior competitor coming to market soon. We expect Beyond to go back to $65 on earnings and retail exhaustion. So he sees that dropping all the way back down to its day one closing price sooner than later. And so when he mentions competitors, there are some other competitors in this plant-based burger space, Boca Foods. And then another one you will hear a lot about and probably start reading more about is Beyond Meat's biggest rival and peer at the moment, and that's Impossible Foods. They most likely will go public later this year, so that's another company to watch out for, Impossible Foods. And then in terms of big scale, you can look this up anywhere. These companies have talked about it on earnings calls and CEO interviews for a while now. These big, big competitors from traditional meat companies such as Cargill, Hormel Foods, and Tyson are all likely to enter the space at some point within the next year or so. So these are these massive companies who have been in the meat business for decades, have massive scale, are going to come in, and that is what Citron and Andrew Left are saying, that Beyond Meat is a small, small player, and when they're selling something that's relatively, I don't want to say easily replicated, but it could be replicated and they can get it on mass scale, to watch out for that. And then I kind of quickly want to close with a look at who the company is really targeting, because they're going to have to kind of buck some trends that don't show they're having the ability to really grow on a massive scale. So the Washington Post reported in August of last year that 5% of Americans identify as vegetarian, a rate that had remained pretty much unchanged since they last did a survey in 2012. And then in 1999, when the survey was first taken, that rested at 6% of people who registered or identified as vegetarian. So that's actually down. Only 5% of the country is saying they're vegetarian. And this is obviously why the CEO, anytime you hear him talk, is saying they're not trying to target vegetarians, because that would be a very, very small market segment to try to go after. So they're going after people who do eat meat. He doesn't refer to this as vegetarian option. This is what he calls plant-based meat. He doesn't even want to ever say it's something that only vegetarians or vegans should consider, because he's obviously looked at these numbers and understand that that cannot be his target audience. So that's just for reference. And then dating all the way back to the early 70s, they had companies who were rolling out soybean-based hamburger patties. So there's always been this idea of an alternative to meats that people eat with the same sort of sense of, I'm eating it on a burger, but it's more healthy than eating red meat, or for whatever reasons you don't want to eat red meat. And for reference, the Associated Press noted that sales of plant-based fake meats have been surging in recent years, but are still just a little bit more than 1% of the overall market. So obviously there's a lot of room for growth when you're starting at around 1% of the market. So that's good news in the long run. So we'll really see over there. But yeah, in general, the company has lost a lot of money as well. So despite a market capitalization north of $5 billion at the moment, Beyond Meat lost $30 million in 2018 on revenues of roughly $88 million. So they're still losing a lot of money, and they're expected to lose more money in their first year as a public company as well. So we'll see where they go. The CEO says that roughly 70 million Americans are trying to reduce their meat consumption. So that's the market he's going after. So we'll really see. Some analysts have said that this overall market of plant-based meats or fake alternatives to meats could reach $40 billion within the next 5 years. So we'll see. Those numbers are kind of all speculative at this point, but it's certainly a company to watch out for. It's up huge since its IPO, as I've said, which is standing in contrast to Uber and Lyft, who are down big. So it's a company to watch out for. They're really trying to get towards those athletes. They've used athletes heavily in their marketing campaigns. So it'll be really fun to watch where Beyond Meat goes, not only in the next few weeks, but in the next few years as this plant-based meat trend either catches on or slowly fades away. And that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.